Man, well, speaking of tithes, I don't know what church I'm getting into involved in right now. Amen. It's been a blessing to me and my family, and hopefully we've been a blessing to you and an encouragement. Y'all been so good to us, and just want to say for last time being up here, just want to say thank you very much so for just the room and the meals and everything. And I don't want to say that as in just, well, a missionary says that. I truly am thankful for what y'all have done for me and my family. So if you wouldn't mind turning to Genesis chapter number 18, we're going to be dealing with the life of Abraham this afternoon and kind of continuing on a little bit with about our service to the Lord. And if you'll notice in this passage of Genesis 18 and dealing with Abraham, he's given this opportunity from the Lord to be able to serve him. And Abraham, if you'll notice some key words here, and we'll look at them here in just a moment, but everything that he did was to his best. And that was Abraham's desire, is to be able to give God the best. And because he's deserving of the best, amen? He's deserving of the best of every aspect of our life, our minds, our actions, attitude, all those things. He deserves our best. And listen, he gave his all. Not to say that he gave his best as if there's any flaw in the Lord. No, he gave his all for you and I. And at least of what we can do is to be able to give our all back unto him. But if you wouldn't mind, when you found your place and standing this afternoon of reading God's Word, Genesis chapter 18, and if you wouldn't mind standing, and we'll read verse number 1 down through verse number 11 for our text. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you for this time together once again. Lord, thank you for the day, your day that has already been taking place. And Lord, thank you for the messages and the service, the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for meeting with us. And God, we ask that you would meet with us again this afternoon. Lord, that you would use your word. Lord, if there's things that need to be added to our life or taken away, Father, I pray you give us the strength to do those things. Father, it's our desire to please you, for you to find a comfortable spot here. Lord, you've asked us to worship you in spirit and truth, and I pray that we have the intent, the desire to do so. And Father, would you use your word to convict us, to change us for your glory. And Father, I pray once again, if there is someone here that's lost, Lord, that you would convict them, Lord, you make them uncomfortable. Lord, that they would be changed before they leave out of those doors today. Father, I pray that you would just be with me. Help me to be able to present your word. Help me be able to present the message as you would see fit. Just use your messenger, Lord. Help me to be humble and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadership. Thank you so much for all you do for us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You'll notice some key words here of the importance or the desire here of Abraham of giving this opportunity, but also of doing it and taking advantage of it. Because a lot of times when the Lord gives us those opportunities to serve him, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life I maybe have gone into a store and forgot to be able to give someone a tract or forgot to be able to witness to somebody, and I knowingly having an opportunity and sitting there talking with someone and walk out the doors and thought, I wish I would have witnessed to them. Every chance that we get in serving God throughout the day, every day, we ought to take advantage of that and have that on the forefront of our mind, that when we are able to serve Him and have that advantage and honor to serve Him, that we want to be able to give God our best in our service to Him. And this is exactly what Abraham's doing. If you'll notice some of the verses here, in verse number 2, it says that when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And whenever we're given an opportunity to serve God, we ought to run to it. We ought to take advantage of that and not just sit there and say, you know what, I'll just do this another day. Not today, I'll do something what I want to do. That's how we kind of live our life sometimes in our action. But the chances that we have that the Lord appears unto us, as He does here in Abraham, that we ought to take advantage of those opportunities to serve Him. But not only that, in verse number 6, it says, "And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal." And then at the end of verse number 7, after the Bible says that he fetched this calf that's tender and good, gave it unto this young man, it says, "And he hasted to dress it." I can imagine, you see, Abraham is just running all over the place, trying to make sure the meal is ready for them, trying to make sure that his Lord is being taken care of and making sure that it pleased Him. But he's not doing it as trying to be busy and doing what he knows to do, what is right. No, his heart is in it. His desire is to be able to serve his Lord and give Him the best. There's a difference of just running around knowing what to do is right. And instead of we don't want that in our life, we really want to be busy about our Father's business, in a sense of that we don't want to be caught being lazy. We don't want to be caught not having a desire to serve God. But every chance we get, we ought to quickly take advantage of that and give Him our best. We notice that in Abraham's life that he does this. But if you'll notice the order of how it's done here, if you look at verse number 2, it says, "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them," the Bible says he served? No. The Bible says he quickly made this meal? No. It says that he ran to meet them from the tent door, and the first thing he did was bowed himself toward the ground. I believe that worship, in this action and attitude of worship here to his Savior, of bowing himself down toward the ground, I believe worship and service actually go hand in hand. I believe when we spend some time worshiping our Savior and understanding of who He is and all His glory and all of who God is and that relationship we have with Him and that fellowship, it ought to give us a desire each and every day to get up and give Him our best. How many times are we getting up and spending some quality time with Him? How many times are we looking into God's Word and asking God, "God, I want to be able to do what's right today. Why? Because I want it to please You." Not the fact that so people can look at me and give me all the accolades and see me. No, I want it to be done so I can please You, because You're deserving of best service and not just a relaxed service. You look at the life and there in Isaiah, the moment he saw God high and lifted up, what did he say? "Here am I, Lord, send me." Paul, on the road to Damascus, saw at the time, whenever he had gotten saved there, the very first words that came out of his mouth whenever he was changed in that new creature, he said, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" I believe if we have a right perspective of who God is truly in our life, it ought to have a desire in our heart to serve God and give Him our best, to give Him the love unto Him and to share that love back unto Him of what He has given unto us. But he bowed himself toward the ground. He ran to him and noticed who he was before him. To the point, verse number 3, it says, "And said, My Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." He's still not telling the Lord, "Lord, let me be able to do these for You. Let me be able to serve You." No, he goes into worshiping Him, and then to the point where he says, "If I had found favor in thy sight." God, I don't want nothing in my life to hinder of me giving my best to You. God, I don't want no hidden sin there. God, I pray that You look down upon my heart, and if there is something there that doesn't need to be there, God, I pray that You would cleanse that from me. God, I pray that You would find favor in my sight. How many times do we hide things in our heart? How many times that maybe there might be some bitterness or some unforgiveness towards another, or a hidden sin there that hinders throughout the day of us giving our best for Him? "If I have found favor in thy sight." The best way to cleanse us from that sin. The best way to make sure that we give God the best is to look through His Word and have the Word of God to cleanse our heart. Have the Word of God make us better for Him. Have the Word of God teach us the decisions that we need to make each and every day. We need Him. We need His ability. We need His instruction throughout the day. He humbled Himself before the Lord and said, there in verse number 4, let a little water, I pray, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I like this fact of when he's dealing with underneath this tree and washing his feet. If you'll notice verse number 1, the kind of the setting here, how he humbled himself. He wasn't thinking of himself. The Bible says he sat in this tent door in the heat of the day. Now, I don't know how hot it gets here in Alaska, but in Oklahoma, some of y'all might know, but in Oklahoma in the summertime, it can get brutally hot. It can get up to 110, 115 degrees easily throughout the summer. Whenever it gets that hot, you're very drained, exhausted. I mean, it just kind of zaps that energy right out of you. But you know what? I can imagine Abraham here possibly being exhausted or drained from the heat of the day, but he didn't let his circumstances deter him or make him to the point where he didn't want to serve God. It didn't matter. This was the opportunity. This was the moment to be able to do that. And Abraham took that moment, that opportunity to serve God and give Him the best. How many times in our service, we kind of wait and see what our circumstances. We wake up in the morning and feel kind of, oh, I'm just kind of tired. You know, I think I'll just kind of coast it today. No, my Savior deserves much more than that. My Savior deserves a whole lot more. Think about all the things that He did for you and I. Think about what He did, all the sufferings, the beatings, the being betrayed by Judas, the mockings and the spittings and all those things, how they would sit there and whip Him and it would dig into the skin and rip it out. Listen, all those things He has done for us, He didn't allow circumstances, He didn't allow the pain that He went through to deter Him from going to the cross. But yet it seems like in a spiritual life, I'm going to use this as an example, that it's like we break a nail and go, oh. But spiritually, it's like we let something small and then say, you know what, I think I'll just kind of coast it today because I'm not feeling good. Or you know, I have other things I need to do. Listen, our circumstances of life ought not to deter us from giving Him our best. He is more than worthy of us giving our all in everything. Our job, our witnessing, our finances, our relationship, our fellowship with Him, everything ought to be done and given of our best and humbling ourselves before Him. But how can we give God our best? How can we serve Him? How do we know to give God our best? Look over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We oftentimes quote that verse, but we forget towards the end of that verse who we are serving and what these things are meant for. But in Romans chapter 12, it talks about presenting our lives, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. But this is dealing with service unto Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Oftentimes in our Christian life, it's like we stop right there. I know what to do is right. I know to come to church. I know to read my Bible. I know to pray each and every day. I know to read my Bible, the three chapters of the day, and kind of check it off. No, this service here, it says acceptable unto God. Our service, the standard that we go by is His standard of what would please Him and what would He like out of our life. Abraham didn't go and tell the Lord, listen, this is what I'm going to do. No, he said, let me to be able to do these things. God, I want to do this. God, I want to be able to wash your feet, which was probably the most humbling thing that someone could do in that culture to do so, is to stoop themselves lower and wash someone else's feet. And he also said, let me be able to make a morsel of bread so you can find comfort and find rest. But he didn't just go to the Lord and say, this is what I'm going to do. He asked permission and got the authority to do so in verse number 5 when the Lord said, so do as thou hast said. People are wanting a Savior in their life, but not the Lord as an authority. Listen, He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my Master. I need to go by what He wants. And I ought to have a desire of that. I should want what He wants. I should be thinking what He thinks. Everything in my life should be exactly the way He wants it. Not my opinion. Listen, Paul said I had to die daily to what? To the flesh. My desires, my hopes, my dreams of what my flesh would want. I'm dying to myself so that way I can be able to give Him the glory and be able to please Him in my life. Abraham was sitting here saying, Lord, let me to be able to do these things. I believe if the Lord told him that, no, I don't want you to do that right now. I want you to spend some time at my feet worshiping me. I believe Abraham would have said, yes, sir, I'll do that. You know, there's a time to worship Him, spend some time with Him, and there is a time of service. You know, you look at Mary and Martha. We all would know that story, and knowing the fact that Mary was at the feet of Jesus, there was a time of worship and being at His feet, and Martha, as it says, was much cumbered about with the service, and not that that was not right, but it wasn't right for that time. The Lord told her, listen, you're missing that one part that Mary has. You're missing a time to spend at my feet. You're missing the time of intimate fellowship with me. Listen, there's a time of worship. There's a time to spend with Him. And there's also a time of service as well. But too many times we're just wanting to serve, knowing what to do is right, and not truly spending quality time with our Lord and Savior. Abraham wanted to make sure his fellowship was correct before he even went into serving God. But not only in his own personal life, making sure of giving of his best, making sure his fellowship was correct and according to God's eyes, asking God, Lord, I pray that you would find favor. It's always according to Him. It's not the fact that, well, I'm not so bad. No, it's by His eyes and by His standard whether or not that we have a broken fellowship or not. But also in verse number 6, he didn't just do it for himself, but he also did it for his family as well. Verse number 6, it says, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. Abraham was the same man in the presence of God and was the same man going into his home. You say, well, what do you mean by that? We mentioned that talking about Job this morning, that, you know, too many times we're different at home than we are coming to church or being around God's people, and that ought not to be. We ought to be the same, being in God's presence, singing songs unto Him and worshiping our Savior and going home and being the same person and still serving God to our best even at home. He sat there and wanted to make sure and include Sarah and be an example unto his family. Can you imagine Sarah as Abraham's coming in and saying, hey, drop what you're doing. This is a time to serve God. Hey, drop what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing right now, but listen, this is our opportunity. This is our moment to be able to give Him our best. And the example that Abraham set for his family. You say, well, he didn't have any, you know, kids or anything right there that it mentions everything. Listen, Sarah's is part of his family. But he's still showing the example unto his family that there's nothing else better than serving God. Are we sharing that? Listen, as husbands, as father, myself included, that I would hope to share unto my family and to be an example unto them that, listen, God's been so good to me. God's changed my life. God has saved me. And there's nothing else better in this life than serving God. But too many times we're involved in other things. And then we wonder why our children are growing up not loving the things of God. And listen, we need to be the example unto them. How can we expect something out of our children if we're not being the example unto them? This world is missing having God as a foundation in their home, as having God as a foundation in their families. They're just, in a sense, just kind of bringing God along with them or bringing Jesus along with their events and everything. No, it's not bringing Jesus along with us of what we want to do. It's getting into His path, getting into His way of what He wants us to do. And then we wonder why families, we have broken homes, why we're having children who are loving the things of this world. I believe there's no example, there's no true foundation in the home. Abraham said, listen, this is our opportunity to serve God. Listen, do we show that in our homes? I want true, my desire is that my girls grow up as missionary wives, obviously. My son, I have a desire, and hopefully, that he'll grow up alongside with me and preach along with me in these villages. That's my desire. But I want to teach them that whatever God wants out of your life, whether it means to come back to the States, to serve in a church, to play musical instruments in that church, to share your gift, what God has given to you, you do what God wants you to do. That's what I want. And listen, the only way I'm going to be able to do that is to teach them that, is to help them with that. Chloe has mentioned many times that she wants to grow up to be a vet. Charity wants to grow up to be a cat. I kid you not, she's mentioned she wants to grow up to be a cat. And I tell her children, whatever God wants you to do, you be, okay? I don't know if God wants you to be a cat, but teach them. Teach our children. Teach the next generation. They have hopes, they have dreams, they have desires, but in order to help train them, as the Bible says, train them up, listen, you do what God wants you to do. Listen, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. We tell our children going to churches, now not only other churches, but even our own church, hey, you be on your best behavior. And probably you that have kids understand that. Be on your best behavior. But we tell them right after that, not that we're not in authority or anything when we say this, but we tell them, and mommy and daddy are going to be on our best behavior as well. You say, well, why would you tell your children that? Listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect father. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm striving to be perfect. But they need to understand that, listen, when I make faults and when I make mistakes, listen, daddy can say, I'm sorry. I think we've had parents who think that they don't want their children to see them cry, or they don't want their children to see them say, I'm sorry. But then if they don't see that, then how will they grow up in a sense confessing their sins unto the Lord, unto authority, and saying, God, I am sorry for what I have done unto you. When's the last time our children have seen us, not in a facade or anything like that, but seen us come down to the altar or in our bedroom praying unto the Lord and weeping for those others? Listen, have our children seen that? They need to see those things. My children need to see that in me. My children need to see that in my wife. How can we expect out of them when we're not setting the example? But if you'll notice, as it continues on, not only just in our homes and our families, but also out there in maybe in the secular world or to our neighbor. Verse number 7, it says, and Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto this young man, and he hasted to dress it. Now, it doesn't say that this young man was of any relationship. I believe that he possibly very well could have been. Possibly Abraham's one of his servants. But even this young man is looking at Abraham and understanding and knowing that, listen, Abraham is serious about this. Abraham is serious in making sure to get the right calf, making sure to have the meal prepared the right way, making sure everything is done to the best. Why? Because our Savior deserves it. This world needs to see us living Christ through us. This world needs to see a change in us. If we're not doing that, then how are they going to be able to see that light that we're supposed to be shining into this world? Are we sharing unto our neighbors that there is nothing else better? Are we sharing unto them, you know, what the things that God has done in our life, and that where they can look at you and say, you know what? They truly do love God. I would imagine this young man, if you were to ask him, he probably would sit there and say, yes, Abraham truly does love God. Why? Because he wanted to give God the best in everything in his service. Yes, Abraham had his faults and failures, but listen, he wanted to make sure and give God the best in everything. Even in the sacrifice given here in verse number 7. I like how the Word of God, you know, a lot of people think that words don't necessarily matter, but the Bible says every jot and every tittle, and that by every word, listen, that every word is important unto us. It says, and fetched a calf tender and good. Even in a sacrifice given unto God, God deserves the best sacrifice. God deserves it all. And you say, well, what's so important about fetching this calf tender and good? Well, for one, this came from Abraham. This was of his possession, something that he gave of himself to be able to give unto God. The other thing is that the word fetched means to search, to look. Listen, Abraham didn't just go out there to his herd and go, yep, the first one, that's good enough. How many times do we give God something that's just good enough? No, he fetched. Imagine Abraham's going out to the herd and saying, no, kind of maybe move one over to the side and say, no, that's not good enough. That one's got a little bit of a flaw in it. And looking around and making sure the best one, and says, ah, right there. That's the one my Savior deserves. That's the one that I want to be able to give to Him to be able to please Him. How many of y'all like steak? Okay, I'm waiting for everybody else to raise their hand. Okay, there's still some that may not like steak. But if I was to go to a restaurant and get a steak and it was too big for me to handle, some of you are like, too big, you eat it all. But I cut that steak in half and put it in to-go box. And then I asked Pastor Dimlo, would you like to come over to eat steak? Yeah, what time? 6 o'clock. I'll be right over. And he comes over, and on his plate at the dinner table, he sees this to-go box. Opens it up, and it's a half piece of steak. Now, some of y'all might like steak so much, you just go ahead and eat it anyways. But I would imagine we'd probably be like, what's this? Well, it's my leftover from last night. You'd probably be appalled by it. You'd probably be disgusted maybe by it. But how many times in our life, of our service, of our time, of our sacrifice, do we give God leftovers? Listen, God doesn't want leftovers. You say, Brother Ryan, what do you mean by leftovers? Maybe we're too involved. We go to work. We're involved with things that of the day. And after work, we go fishing. We go hunting, whatever it might be. And then we get home, and it's 9 o'clock. And we go, oh, I need to read my Bible. And we hurry up and read the Bible and say, well, I did what was supposed to be done. God doesn't want leftovers. God doesn't want us to treat service as just a check off the box. And we ought not to want that in our own life, of just doing it just because we know it's right. No, our love for the Lord, our fellowship of Him, that's why it's important to spend time with Him, to learn more about God, to understand who He is, not only just for the instruction, but just to be in awe of who He is. And let me tell you, when you're in awe of who He is and seeing what the Bible says about Him, seeing the things that He has done in your life and how He has changed you, how He has helped you, given things to you, just being an awesome God, it will drive you to serve Him and of your best. There, verse number 8, after it's all prepared for Him, the Bible says at the very end, it says, and He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. This meal wasn't for Abraham. This meal was not for Abraham to get a thank you. This meal, this sacrifice given unto God, was not for Abraham to be lifted up and to be seen of men. Do you see in this passage anywhere where Abraham got a, hey, your wife cooked a great meal. Hey, Abraham, well done. You did a fine job. No, you don't see that. But that wasn't Abraham's goal. Abraham in his service to the Lord was not so other men could say, well done, good job. His goal was so that the Lord would be pleased in what was given. And I believe he knew in his heart, in seeing them eat this meal, I believe he knew God was pleased. But you'll notice that it sits there and says that he stood by them under the tree. Now remember at the very beginning of this chapter that he's there in the heat of the day, sitting at the door of his tent, but now he's at underneath this tree which is by them. So, Brother Rat, what's so significant about this tree? Whenever it gets real hot and everything, whenever we're trying to find a cool spot maybe here, I don't know if y'all do that or not, but just trying to find a relief from the heat. A lot of times we get underneath a tree or get underneath some kind of a shade and let that breeze just blow, and then we just kind of go, ah, that feels so much better. Abraham is underneath this tree, and I would imagine that his relief or his comfortable spot here is knowing God is pleased with him. The most joy, the most comfortable spot that we'll ever be in, of knowing true joy, of knowing true comfort, is knowing the assurance that our God is pleased in what was given. But our biggest scare, our biggest fear ought to be, I understand there's concerns about what's going on in the world today, confusion and so much things going on, maybe not knowing what's coming in our finances, maybe not knowing our next job and everything, but our biggest fear actually should be that we fail Him, that we make a mistake, and basically put a bad name unto our Savior. But listen, there's great joy, there's a great honor in serving Him, and even better as a blessing to the heart, knowing God is pleased with what we did in commandment and obeying what He told us to do. And then if you look there, verse number 10, the service brings about rewards. Now there was a promise given to them in chapter number 17, but the Lord sits there and is talking, asking where Sarah is at and telling Abraham here in verse number 10, it says, and He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Bible says that children are a reward or a gift from above. Listen, this was a miracle that was given unto Sarah to be able to have a child, which they didn't think she was able to. Listen, there's some rewards in serving Him. There's some promises being made. He told them, He said, listen, I will return at a appointed time, according to the time of life. There's appointed time for me to return, and you're going to have a child. You're going to be able to have this miracle that's going to happen through Sarah. You and I have been able to see in the Word of God, have been given a promise. Those of us who are saved, those of us who are serving, that He'll one day return and we'll receive those heavenly treasures. But I want to really make a point in saying this through the Word of God and seeing about service. Service has never been about us, about what we can receive for us to keep and hold, for what we can have others to see in us. No, service has always been about Him. Salvation was His love shown unto you and I. Salvation was about Him coming to seek and to save that which was lost. Salvation was about Him giving us hope. Service is about our love shown back unto Him. What kind of service are we having? Are we having the best service that we can possibly, to give our all unto Him, to show that we love Him, to show that we're committed and dedicated unto Him? Or are we just kind of getting by and just doing what's right? You say, well, Brother Allie, I want to be able to give Him the best. Listen, what will we do with those rewards one day? Cast them down at His feet. Why? Because He was the one who gave me the ability to serve Him to begin with. He was the one who gave me the strength, the power. It was all credit unto Him for me to be able to do anything. The instruction, the direction, the Holy Spirit's leadership, the ability to do these things to enable me. He deserves all the glory in it all. I think too many times we try to receive the credit and service unto Him, and listen, it's all about Him. And the last thing I want you to look at in verse number 11, it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. I want to go ahead and read verse number 12. It says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. You know what she said? It can't be done. What can't be done? Her to be able to be used of the Lord to have this child. Brother Ryan, what's that got to do with our service? Too many times the elderly, those that may be crippled, those that may be old, well-stricken in age, as it mentions with Abraham and Sarah. How many times we hear a message of service, of giving our best, and we sat there and say, I'm too old, Brother Ryan. You don't understand. I'm not as spry as I once used to be. I'm not able to do those things like I once before. But God still wants to use you. God was able to use Sarah. Sarah laughed at it. And with us sitting there possibly having the comment of, I'm too old, really we're being just like Sarah and we're just kind of not trusting in God and just kind of laughing at it. There's no way I can be used. If God has you here still on this earth, He wants to use you still, no matter your age. Whether you're 50, 60, 90, 500, you still can be used. Well, Brother Rao, what can I do? You can be a prayer warrior. I've heard that all my life. Listen, prayer still works. Prayer moves God. God has asked us to pray. You have not because you ask not. And listen, you can be a mentor to the younger. You can sit there and teach the younger what it means to be a godly lady, what it means to be a godly man, to teach ladies what it means to be chaste, keepers of the homes, lovers of their husbands. Listen, you can teach these younger men who are growing up, instead of the philosophy and the idea out there that everything is owed to me, no, you can teach them to live to be a godly man, to be firm, to stand strong, to stand in the faith. So what can you do? Ask God what you can do. The Lord told them, gave them an opportunity to serve Him. The Lord told them that they were going to use Sarah to be able to have this child, which would be a nation among many nations. God can still use you. But you have to be willing to be used. Willing to give God your best. And why do I give my best? One, because he deserves it. And two, because I love him. I want to give him my best. It's not a checkoff. It's not that. God, I love you, and I want to give you my best. Help me not to fail. Help me to be able to please you. Amen. That's about a word of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you once again. Father, help us to look in our life, and Lord, I'm including my own, Lord, that there's areas of our life that we could do better. And Lord, I pray that we would always have the goal, the mindset of growing and not to be stagnant, but Lord, to always be looking to you and maturing. Father, help us to give you our best in everything of our life. Help us to give you our life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.